The apocalypse has arrived. From the mind of T.M. Williams, the accidental writer, comes a horrific future. Humanity is turned inside out as millions of people around the world become infected with Gage syndrome. Only a handful of people are immune and left to witness their entire race transform before their eyes. Gages take over society in the most macabre way, fulfilling their deepest and darkest desires with no thought of morality to stop them. See through the eyes of the uninfected, like Marge, who must decide whether the fate of her daughter should lie in the hands of the Gages coming for them, or if she should take her own child's life to stop them. See through the eyes of the infected, like Danny Ruiz, a doctor in the midst of transformation who is as fascinated by his own desires as he is by the results of fulfilling them. The apocalypse has come, and as you watch it unfold, you, the reader, become the masochist. T.M. Williams is working a Kickstarter project for this book and welcomes you to check out the frightening video of her perceived future at Kickstarter.com. Search for Publish Das Masochist.
This is KWOD Radio, and this is Patty Holstrand. I'm sorry about that. We're having some technical difficulties due to security issues. Lovely things. And looks like we can't use Skype because of it, so we're going to just go ahead and use the telephone. Well, it fails, go back to, you know, minor technology. So we're going right into Tina Marie and her episode here. We're excited to have her because she's just been so prolific in writing. And she's been doing so many short stories. Tina, are you there?
I am here.
Sorry about that. We have security problems on our end. Yeah.
You know, that happened last time, too. I think it might be me.
I don't know. Yesterday, yesterday we were on fine, but I was on my other computer. Now, I was on my laptop today and see what happens. So it's like, So anyway, go back to other technology when one won't work. You know what I mean? So
yep.
Here we are. And we've got the chat open for anybody who'd like to call or like to write in. The call number is 714-242-5145. And let's get in the chat here so that way they can see us. Anybody who wants to write in a question and doesn't want to call in, they can do that too. To see a little bit of information about the show, there is a chat area. And that's on live now. So, you have been busy, lady.
Yeah, I know. Since the last time I talked to you, I've gotten even busier.
I know. I was looking at all your covers of the stuff that you've been working on, and you have some short stories that you've been working on. And sounds like you had taken some things that I told you, you know, gave you some advice some months ago about writing some short stories in order to draw interest to your larger works. Have you found that to work pretty well?
Yeah, I was actually pretty surprised because I've personally never been one to read short stories. For me, it's the longer the better, and I tend to get into series because I just really dive into stories. So I was looking at it from my own perspective, but I gave it a try, and surprisingly, my short stories are the ones that have really taken off. In fact, one of them went to number one on Amazon. And, you know, so it's also funny on the other hand because even in my title it says novella, and then I have people saying, I liked it, but it was short. So it's like, you know, you can't win them all. But it's definitely helped, and for me it's fun because sometimes you just have a story that's just not long.
Yeah, exactly. But then there's some stories you're thinking you're looking at the synopsis going like, no, that's definitely not a short story. How can you tell when it's going to be a short story and when it absolutely needs more words?
For me, I think it's, when I start writing it, I'm not the person who does outlines or plans out my plot. I kind of just let the story take on a life of its own. And if I'm 30 pages in and I'm still at the beginning of a story, then that's a pretty good indication that it's going to be a longer one, you know. And for me, my books tend to be between 70,000 to 80,000 words anyway, so that's where I'm comfortable with. I don't know if I could go over that. I've seen people, you know, friends that do over 100,000 easily, and I just can't see myself doing that because I tend to like to get more to the point. So it depends on the plot lines and stuff. It's just hard to say. It's usually once I start writing it and I'm a little bit into it that I can say this is a little bit of a shorter story. And there's other times where I'm into it and I'm thinking it's a longer story, and I'm just like, I can't pull anything else out of this, so I do some chopping and turn it into a short story.
Wow. Yeah, I kind of have a gut feeling about it. But, you know, I have a lot of people who, I mean, I know authors who write these huge monstrosities of story, and I'm thinking, wow, they could have gotten, you know, so many books out in that time.
Yeah. That's the other thing, too, is I think about the marketing aspect of it, too, because that's always on the forefront in my mind. So, you know, I like to short stories because it fills in the gap on time, because it takes a long time from one book to the other, a full-length novel. And so the short stories tend to fill in the gap. I can't imagine doing something longer, I'd want to turn it into a series or a trilogy or something.
Have you tried to do, you know, some offshoots, short stories from a character that you've done from your book?
Not yet, because as you know, I've only been writing, my 2-year anniversary on writing altogether is coming up in a few weeks, so I haven't been writing long enough for any of my books to have offshoots, but I do have something planned for the Bohemian Grove trilogy that I'm writing. I'm actually going to do kind of a short story offshoot for one of my characters in there, Jabril, who's one of the quirky non-main characters who I think people kind of want to know his story before this story began. So that's in the works, but it's not going to be until probably end of 2014.
Ah, but you, that's the same. I mean, you did have it in mind.
I did have it in mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so now people know.
Yep. Now if you're listening, you know. Otherwise, you won't know until next year.
There you go. Yeah, you have to be on here in order to get that little tidbit.
Yep.
So we're going to talk about your Kickstarter, because, you know, you did a Kickstarter for another one of your books. And so tell us about how that went.
I did it for Sungate, which is the second book in the Bohemian Grove trilogy. And I kind of
that
did
was
it.
Earlier
I actually
this year,
learned.
Right?
I'm sorry?
Was that earlier this year?
Yeah, that was earlier this year, and Sungate's the one that was just released a few weeks ago. And I actually first heard about Kickstarter at one of the cons that I did and thought, well, I'll just give it a try because I wanted to self-publish that one. And so Sungate was the one I wanted to do a Kickstarter project for because it was a full-length novel. And when I did it, I was fully expecting it not to succeed because I just didn't see why anybody would want to financially invest in this for me. I just didn't make any sense. Like, why would you put money into a book for anything I would write? And then it went over the goal. So I was really surprised, and I felt weird just asking people, hey, can you put money into this book for me, you know? And so when people responded back and they actually enjoyed it and they thought it was kind of fun to be involved in the book that way, I was like, okay, I'm gonna go ahead and do this again. And the Kickstarter project this time for Masochist, this book is one that my readers seem to be really anticipating and into. And I've been really incorporating the readers into this book, so it's kind of a book for my readers. I had a contest where, you know, you can nominate one of your friends to be offed in my book because it's obviously a horror book. And I got tons of submissions for that. So people have been really into this book, and I thought Kickstarter was a perfect project for it. And I had some people say you should get an agent for it and have it published. And I really wanted to self-publish this because I really wanted to just own everything from the beginning to the end, including the covers, and just have this project be completely mine and my readers and really have nobody else own it. So that was the idea behind the Kickstarter project for Masochist. And it seems to be working. I had, you know, as soon as I posted it, I had somebody went and donated it before I even had completely started marketing it yet. So it was pretty fun.
So That is awesome. That is awesome. And you know, this is kind of a, this is really a dark story for you.
It's a really dark story. In fact, I started writing it earlier this year, and I had to step away from it because it was just emotionally, mentally draining for me. And I had to go back, and that's when I finished writing Sungate, because it was originally Masochist was supposed to come out before Sungate. So I just couldn't do it. It was just way too dark for me. And so I had to take a step back and find my happy place. And now I'm in a better position where I have so many distractions, so it's easier to write. But it is. It's really dark. I don't think I can do another dark one like this again. But it's hard to say because I have a lot of people saying that this is what they like.
Yeah. Yeah, and we talked about that, about horror being really, really popular right now, especially your subject matter, which what you've done is you've taken it into the obviously the the end days type of story. You got the apocalypse. So
right.
what made you want to get into that particular subject?
Well, originally, Masochist is an expansion novel from Undead Winter, which is a zombie book. And how that happened is I was reading World War Z, and this is before it was a movie, and fell asleep and had a nightmare. And so I wrote that nightmare down on my Facebook page, just not even thinking anything of it. Like, oh, I had this dream last night. It was really creepy, and I posted it. And had a lot of people message me and say, how does it end? And I'm like, it's a dream. I don't know how it ended. I woke up, thankfully. And so a lot of people said, can you turn this into a book? And it just kind of threw me off because I'm writing science fiction, which is what I was excited about. And everybody's like, here, write this book. So I wrote the first, I think it was about 8,000 to 9,000 words. So it was a novelette. It wasn't a novella. And it went on to post on Amazon real quick. It wasn't turned into print or anything. It was just one of those, you know, e-books on Amazon. Then I had people message me back again and say, okay, I want more. I was like, okay. So I wrote 10 more chapters, so it turned into a novella, doubled in size, and it's just a novella that has been doing really well. It's hit top 100 a few times. It went to number one just a couple weeks ago. And so, again, people came back and said, okay, I want more of the backstory. So I decided to turn that into the full-length novel, which is Masochist. It's not zombies. I changed it around a little bit because my zombies were completely different from what you people think of. It's not the slow-moving non-thinkers. And just did a little bit more of a psychological twist on it and put it into a full-length novel. So it just all started from one really bad dream and turned into a full-length book.
Wow. Yeah, you know, those bad dreams, you write them, did you get up and write it down before you lost it?
I got up, I think it was within the hour I wrote it down. I kind of just had to get it out of my head and just write it down
right.
Just so I didn't think of it. It was one of those ones that lingered with you all day, though.
Right, right. Now, you came up with a syndrome which I've never heard of before, Gage syndrome. Where did you find that?
So my friend Melissa actually told me about a person, because she read Undead Winter and she really liked it, and she said it kind of reminded her of this person she read about. His name was Phineas Gage, and he's a 19th century who actually had a pole go through the front of his head, through the frontal lobe, the cerebral cortex. And so he was kind of this phenomenon because people said that his friends said that he completely changed, where he almost lost all his morals and ethical behavior, and he just completely changed emotionally and mentally. And so, because I was trying to playing around with it, and I was thinking, how can we create a character that's more realistic? Because, you know, zombies rising from the dead is not really realistic. And
right.
She says, well, you know, if you have something that happens to your frontal lobe, then, you know, there's definitely theories out there that it can affect your morals, where that's where all your morals and all your conscious behavior sits. So the Gage syndrome I created based on Phineas Gage, and basically in my book it's humans who completely lose all moral behavior and go to their raw primal instincts. So it's dark because it's what we are really capable of in real life. It's just taken to a different level.
Right. Some people just, you know, maybe lack some of that development in the front lobe anyway. And that's
right.
perhaps what makes them not have a feeling for right and wrong. So,
right. So you could think of serial killers. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It'd be fascinating to find out. But
definitely.
You know, these kind of what ifs are cool, aren't they? When you just think, oh man, you know, that just kind of works, and then you start, you know, molding it into the story,
mm-hmm.
and making it new.
The what ifs are my favorite part of writing. It's kind of my goal. I was talking to Ronald Tobin, who's another author, and I actually was telling him that in all my books, my goal is to make people who would normally see things as black and white not see it in black and white anymore, because I never have a clear evil or good versus evil, and sometimes you're rooting for the bad guy. So that's kind of my intent, is for people to have that what if, could this possibly be real? I want them walking away still thinking about some of the stuff that are in my books, regardless if it's, you know, horror or science fiction or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Now, it wasn't so long ago. It was about a month ago. I told Donna, I said, I think that The Walking Dead and shows like that, I think that we're going to start seeing not so much the zombies that are brainless. I think we're starting to see stories that have smart zombies in it.
Right.
In other words, zombies that have some kind of goal, or just like yours, have Gage syndrome. And so it's not so much that they're zombies, but they are acting as if they're zombies, but they're still really alive.
Well, I mean, you think about it, a lot of people call society kind of zombified now because we're so plugged into electronics that we don't notice anything going on around us. So it just depends on what people's definition of zombies are. We could already be in the middle of a zombie apocalypse and not even see it in the same way other people do. And I've had some people ask me if I watched Walking Dead, I think that's what it's called, Walking Dead, and I haven't. And the reason being is I try to stay away from anything that I think will influence my books. I don't want it to be, oh, yeah, she got that idea from there, you know. So, but
right.
I definitely see the same thing happening, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, you know, I mean, they have you seen the movie or know about the movie about the romance? That had the zombie with that, you know, they had the romance in it. And you're thinking, okay, that's something different.
It was kind of almost like a romantic comedy with zombies.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but, Warm Bodies. It's actually based on a book,
yet,
too.
Either, I really want to.
It's based on a book, too,
and
I hear great stuff about it.
Yeah, and you're thinking, okay, now he was conscious of what was going on, you know, unlike some of those around him. So there you go. So I think we are starting to see that trend of, you know what, I think the mindless zombies were fun for a while, but we're kind of getting bored of that already.
Right. They're fun for, you know, like zombie parades and things like that.
They're fun to play act, yeah, exactly. But, yeah, it's like now it's time to get into the real world and say this. It's not zombies should be mindless. So I'm wondering perhaps whether or not this is something that The Walking Dead should get into. But right now they basically just have mindless zombies.
Gotcha. Yeah.
For
me, I would prefer to see something that is too close to home to reality, because that's what's scary to me, not the, that could never happen, you know.
Right. Here you've got characters, for instance, you've got the First Lady. Apparently, he gets Gage syndrome. And
yes.
And I'm thinking, actually, most of politicians I know have Gage syndrome without even knowing it.
Yeah. I had to throw the president in there. There's
I didn't say president because that causes too much trouble. But,
well, he's in my book. He doesn't get Gage syndrome, but, yeah, he might as well have it, right? the book follows a couple of different characters. It's not from any one person's perspective, and it's written in first person. And the First Lady is one of the perspectives, as is the president and stuff. So And for those who've read Undead Winter, they know the story because that's at the very beginning of the book. But it's fun to write. It was really fun to write politicians who get Gage syndrome. I think I had more fun with it than I should have.
Because you were, you know, seeing it from the inside of the head of each character.
Right.
And probably, you know, I haven't read it yet, but I think probably the most one that's going to be disturbing probably would be the doctor.
Yes, the doctor is, he ends up being a main character in the new book, and he was a small character in the first one, and people really fell in love with him, and I think it's because, and he really is the most corrupt, really, from all of them. So it's kind of interesting that people end up liking the one that's the darkest. He was the most fun to write. He was the most fun to write. And I basically created his character because he's the darkest, but I wanted to see, could I make people like a character that dark? And, you know, so apparently my readers are darker than I am.
So that, of course, questions on obviously because Jabathi knows anatomy and apparently gets into some interesting what I would call a Frankenstein complex,
right?
Where he starts taking bodies apart to see how they work and that kind of thing. I think doctors probably always wanted to do.
Yeah, he definitely takes a scientific curiosity to everything. But he's more amused by it than anything. So, because, you know, he turns into a Gage. But during the transition, he takes on that curious, like, oh, that's interesting how that's happening. I'm trying not to give away too much, but there's definitely darkness in the book. I mean, there's incest. There's a lot of things that happen that people... You know, it's basically I want to take things that people shun in society and put it into a book and see how people react to it when it's written out in a story that you follow from the beginning to the end. So I don't hold back with it.
Does it surprise you when you were rereading it and you read this really dark character and you're wondering, you know, because you know as I do that characters are inside of us.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, okay, where in the heck did that guy come from?
Right. You're not supposed to be telling that to people. Yeah.
I've been telling you that for years.
I've always been an artist in some way. I've always been that side of the brain. So for me, I've always been exploring emotionally, I think more to try to figure out what kind of reaction I can get from people. It's always been in my nature to push the envelope to see how people react to things. In a way, I'm almost like the character Danny Ruiz, where I see things out of curiosity to see how I can get people to react. So in that way, I can relate to him. And, you know, that's why I'm always posting really controversial things to see. It's probably cruel in a way just to see how people react to things and see what their perspectives are to see if I can get it to change. So in that sense, that's always been a part of me, and I think that's definitely something I put in my books. As far as the darkness goes, we're surrounded by so much darkness in real life that it's not really – I didn't have to reach too far to, you know, figure all that out and stuff. And some of the stuff that I've read – and the news is worse than anything that I could ever come up with in even the darkest books. And, you know, for my other book that I'm writing right now, there's a lot of criminal stories that I'm studying doing research on. And some of these stories that I'm reading on some of these criminals, I'm like, oh, my gosh, I could never even write that, let alone think of somebody actually doing that. So,
right. I know a couple other authors who really, you know, dig into some of the back files in order to come up with thoughts of how people kill other people.
Right.
Did you have to? And then I also know an author who actually studied medicine in order to understand her character so that way she could write some surgical procedures. Did you have to do anything like that for Danny?
For Danny, I for me, for the books, I actually, how do I put this? I let the mind do most of the surgical stuff. It really is, I mean, he doesn't really get into dissecting people or doing anything like that. Yeah, he's more of a, he tends to take more on the more of a researcher role on it and watches people more than anything. He tends to be more the voyeuristic doctor who's amused by everything that's happening around him. But as far as everything else goes, I end up doing a lot of reading up on the actual brain, so learning about the frontal lobe and the cerebral cortex and just seeing all the different things and learning about how everything fires off. So it's more on a psychological level that I studied everything and did my research on, because I think to me that's a little bit scarier. There's gore. It's definitely gory, but it's not as gory as something like those, you know, blood and guts movies. It's definitely more on the psychological side of things.
Wow, that's, it's always fascinating to find out, how authors are coming up with their ideas and how, they're connecting with their characters. Do you see that you're going to go further with this particular storyline?
I don't think so. There's a very solid ending to the book, so there's not really anywhere else for it to go. And so in this sense, I don't think so. I think that for this one, I tend to want to write series and trilogies and that sort of thing. This one's there's a very solid beginning, and it's more of an account of the apocalypse, and it really is something that has potential for a storyline. So it really goes into the apocalypse and says, here's a group of people that are all connected, and here's kind of their story and how everything begins and ends for them. So I don't think it's going to really go anywhere else. I think if anything, at the very most, I may write maybe a novella that talks about one of the characters. But I think once I'm done with this, this will be it for it, this book.
Okay. So what's coming up after this for you then?
So I have Masochist. I'm also writing a book simultaneously called Clusters, and this one I literally just started a few weeks ago, and I'm almost halfway done with it already. It's a book that is speculative fiction, so it's a completely new genre for me again, and it's a story. It's based on true story, so there's basically been disappearances of people and national forests that are unaccounted for, that people don't really hear about, and talking about in the thousands, that have happened in the last century and a half. And this one guy, David Politis, actually has written three books where he covers each case in detail. So each book is like 500 pages long, and it's just filled with cases and cases and cases. And so basically I'm writing a speculative fiction book based on that. So I come up with my own theory in the book of what's happening, and I'm writing a fiction book based on this journalist who's exploring these cases as well. So there's a lot, all the cases that I write in the book are true, but I change the names and the kind of the locations and stuff because I don't want to distort any of the stories for the real families and everything. And this one's actually the one I've enjoyed writing the most. And so I see myself going down that path a little bit more. I can see myself maybe going a little bit more into true crime or crime writing because I've enjoyed it. I've been interviewing some detectives and police officers, and I found that I'm like, wow, I really want to be a detective in another lifetime because it's just so fascinating to me.
Wow.
So that's the one that's coming out. I don't know when it's going to come out. I'm actually going to send that one out and see who wants to publish it. And then, of course, mm-hmm. I have the third book in the Bohemian Grove trilogy that's going to come out next year. And so those are the next three books coming out. And then I have a miniseries that I'm writing that I have two more to finish up before that's done. So
you're
got a lot coming
movie.
Up. I know. I know.
So you and I are usually up in the middle of the night, and that's when we usually connect. It's 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Bob,
it's amazing what I can get done at 2 a.m.
Yeah, no phone calls, The
mm-hmm.
creativity that sometimes, for some reason just kicks on. You should do the best work on the covers at the time. Design as well as writing just seems to do really well in the middle of the night.
Yeah, and I don't design any of my own books. Yeah, I didn't actually create any of my own book covers, but yeah, I can see that one. I can't touch that. I'm already busy enough. My designer does a fantastic job with the cover, so.
Oh, yeah. That's happening all over the place. That's my bread and potatoes, right, is design. So,
I couldn't even begin.
Years,
so. Yeah, that's definitely, I don't have the brain for that. That's something I'm like, you guys are the experts, you do it, and I'll give my thumbs up.
Yeah, it's quite satisfying when you see it done on the cover. And authors send me the copies. I just love that. It's finished, you know. But right now I'm writing one. So I'm just crazy. I'm crazy too. So you know, we gotta keep creative. And there's just so many things to do in life, you know.
Absolutely.
And there's so many stories out there still. You know, you think, oh my gosh, how many books there are, you know? But they're not your books.
Yeah, exactly.
So you want to rewrite because it's like, well, you know, have you ever read something you think, man, I would have done it differently?
I don't think I'm at that stage yet. I it was less than 2 years ago. It was December of 2011, and I started writing the first chapter in Bohemian Grove, and I had no idea it was going to turn into a book. And then 3 months or 4 months later, I have a book in my hands. And I've never been the person who ever wanted to write. I know a lot of people will say, I've always wanted to write a book. And that wasn't me. I always thought it was something smart people did. So I was like, I'm not even touching that. So I've never had a goal to write a book. I never was a writer. I never wrote anything. I never wrote short stories. I never wrote poems. It was just not anything I did. And so I started writing, and when that ended up being published, it kind of threw me for a loop. And it wasn't until Sungate came out, and my best friend actually asked me, she says, are you excited now? And I said, okay, now I'm excited, because I was kind of, you know, in that pinch me stage. I don't know if this is really happening. And I was kind of waiting for the ball to drop for everybody to say, you're not a writer, what are you doing? And it just didn't happen. So by the time Sungate came out, I was like, I think I could take a little bit of a breath now and call myself a writer. And that only happened, a month ago. So I think for me, when I read books, I'm still in awe. I'm like, gosh, I wish I could write like that. So I haven't gotten to that stage yet where I feel like I can write better than the authors. I mean, there's some stories out there now that I read, especially self-published books. I'm like, oh, my goodness. Like, how did they publish this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, okay, why did they do that? And
yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Did nobody read this yet?
Exactly. Yeah. And I get a lot of those. But what I'm talking about is more of the, well, if I would have written this, I would have taken a different angle to it, and the characters may have been a little different because of it. So
yeah, I do that in a sense, but I also read different genres than I actually write too. So, you know, so yeah, I can see like, oh, and I like when that happens, because then it means you're being taken in a way you weren't expecting to, you know, because if they end up doing exactly what I thought they should do, then that doesn't really say anything for the story.
Right. So they call you the accidental author, the accidental writer for a reason, right? So
yes.
That's it. Just based on your story you just told me.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
So that's also an author.
That's
also her website, everyone. So, you know, accidentalwriter.com.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And you got to get on there and check her out, because she's got all her different covers on there and see just how busy this lady has been. And, you know, she's decided to do some of this herself. And you know, as I advise you to, you know, try to go the other route as well. Not just a self-published route, but also, you know, put yourself into it, because you've already done it once and you know how that feels.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and I'm taking your advice, and it's Clusters is the one that I'm actually going to send out to agents and publishers. and look for a bigger publisher this time, somebody that can actually, that has a house to be able to do the stuff that I want them to be able to do.
Exactly. And look at this way. You've got your track record, and by the time that they say yes, you have an even better one. So,
yeah.
And we can only wish the best for you, you know. I'm excited for you.
Thank you. I'm excited, too.
So, tell us about the Kickstarter, how much money you need, and you know, kind of where to find it, obviously.
It's, if you go to Kickstarter.com, the project is called Publish Masochist. I also have a website dedicated to the book. It's masochistbook.com. And on the bottom of each page on the website, there's a link to the Kickstarter page. I also have it on my blog as well, which is accidentalwriterblog.wordpress.com. So there's different places to find it. And the goal for the book for Kickstarter is $2,000. I'm obviously hoping to make more than that, but that's the minimum. One of the things that people are like, why are you doing that? Well, I like to pay for the editors, the professional editors, to come in and really do a good job with editing. So that's included in that. And one of my biggest annoyances is reading a book that hasn't been edited by anybody. So the editing is like $1,800, and then you have, you know, all the different things that go into publishing. I don't think people outside the book world realize how much actually goes into publishing. You know, it's not
right.
Like you just send it off and then they print it. There's so much more that goes into it, and there's formatting and all these different things. So the minimum is $2,000, and that's really just to cover the absolute basics. And so I'm hoping to make more than that, but I picked the minimum.
Definitely. I am so excited for you, and I'm looking forward to seeing the book when it's done. And we're definitely going to be, you know, plugging away, because we've got, you know, your spot here that you guys get to listen to. And you guys got to get on the Kickstarter, because you've got a really wicked video on there. You've got to see it.
Yes. I love the video.
Did your video work? Because I thought they did a great job. So give them a plug here.
Jason. His name is Jason Valerio, and he actually, his company is called Platinum Footage. He does all my book covers. He did the book trailer for Sungate, which was absolutely stunning. And he did the trailer for Masochist. He does all my graphic work. He's an absolute brilliant genius. And anything I've asked for, he's delivered. So I'm so fortunate to have him, and he's extremely busy, and he always keeps some time aside just for me. So very grateful to him.
Awesome. So that's anything you want to plug outside of that? Because I tell you, you've definitely got some stuff coming up, and people need to get, you know, keep an eye on you, because there's always new stuff coming up.
Yeah, I almost have to write everything down, because I don't even know what's going on anymore. I would say if you want to stay plugged in, definitely stay plugged into my blog and my fan page, because both of them I'm on every single day. I do tons of giveaways and stuff, so I'm really big on trying to make sure my readers are taken care of and stuff, because have some really
free stuff, everybody.
Free stuff. Yeah, free stuff. My readers, I have awesome, loyal readers, so I try to take care of them, and I give away books. And one of the things I like to do is if I'm reading a book that I absolutely love, I'll give away that book too, because I try to help out other authors as well. So fan page, blog, I've got it all, the Twitter. So any way you guys are comfortable connecting, is I'm pretty much out there in social media.
Yeah, and of course you're on Facebook.
Facebook.
I know you're active on there, so everybody can find you pretty easy.
Yeah, I'm active on Twitter. My Twitter handle is IamTMWilliams. So my author's name is TM Williams. I don't use my full name, so they can find me that way too.
Yeah, I know your name.
Well, I know you know my name. I would hope so by now.
Now, are we going to have you at Leprechaun this coming year?
Yes, I'm going to be at Leprechaun, and I'm starstruck because Gail Carriger is going to be there, who I absolutely love. She's one of my favorite authors. So I'm going to be at Leprechaun, and hopefully some of the different cons too. That's, I think, one of my favorite things about being an author is doing those con tours.
Yeah, it is. It's very cool, isn't it?
Yeah,
so meeting other authors and talking to them and finding out, you know, their stories. Again, I have been going to cons for over 20 years, And that's the fun part, is meeting all these authors.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
Getting to know them. I've been lately I've been getting to know a lot more artists. So
yeah, and authors are quirky, so it's nice to meet people that are kind of, you know, off the wall like you are. So you're like, yeah, good, we have things in common.
yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, that's why I asked you questions about the writing process, because, you know, it's like I know we all are doing about the same thing. As long as we're listening to our muses, you know, those voices inside our heads.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know we're all the same when it comes to be a fiction writer. You know, fiction writers all know what we're talking about. It's like,
yes. It's
like these characters wake up in the middle of the night. It's like nobody else understands that except another fiction author.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Like
you really kind of need your meds now, you know?
Yeah. But the meds keep the story away, so you don't.
Right.
Yeah. I'll be driving, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I just thought of this scene, and, you know, you're stuck, and all of a sudden it comes to you. So, yeah.
Yeah. In the most inopportune places sometimes.
Yeah. Well, it's always in the most inopportune places. It never makes sense.
I was like, oh, my God, that's why that's there. And then everybody's looking at you like, you're crazy.
Yeah, it's not when you're sitting in front of your laptop ready to write. It's always any other time besides that.
Yeah. I think it's because our brain is just wired that way. It's we're thinking about something else, and all of a sudden, the consciousness comes in and seeps into our lobe there and says, okay, you got to get some attention here. And so that's how these characters work.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. That then it goes, okay, the middle of the night, why is when it's cold, when it's nice and quiet, yet once you get started, then they start to talk.
Yeah.
You know, they start
talking. Yeah, and I don't know about you. And I don't know about you, but I need music, too. I have to have my headphones on.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. My most creative times have been, and I've written some of my out-of-body experiences. about out-of-body experience. Listening to Tibetan horns, you know, those big, huge horns they have up. Yeah.
Yeah, we pick weird music. Yeah, so you do that too. You do music that people normally don't listen to. Like I was listening to just violin solos when I was writing the other night. So it's not really, it doesn't make any sense, but it works.
Yeah, it does. It's like you want to be in another country, you need to listen to that particular music, and it makes you
exactly
put you into a different mood, and brings out the weirdest things.
Exactly.
That's fun. It's fun. And it's probably really giddy when you get people who are become your fans and they want to talk about your books and you're going, well, yeah, I can talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, all day.
Yeah, all day. Yeah. So, okay, awesome. And I always have fun talking to you. And sorry about
the
problem. And I'm not sure if we're still having any problems or not, but it looks like everything's okay. So
I'm getting messages that people hear us, so we're good.
good. That's the thing, is that I can't really tell until at the end, and then, you know, it's kind of too late. So it's
yeah,
good
exactly.
That people are listening to us. I do know we have some guests logged in, so hey, hello everybody. Apparently you didn't want to call in. You guys are being shy. But, you know, we know you're there. I can see you in the dark. So I'm going to have fun, taking a look at what you've got going on. And, of course, I'll also be plugging your Kickstarter as the days progress here. Because I think you need a little
awesome.
Kickstart
Thank you.
Here.
Yeah, I do. We only got a couple weeks left. So
I know. It just goes by so fast. You have 22 or 23 days left now.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes by fast. So I wish you all the luck, and you know, it's tough to put this up in the Kickstarter. Books aren't making quite as much as they used to.
Yeah.
Looking at the numbers the other night. So apparently people like to put money into music, believe it or not.
Well,
so,
there will always be books, though.
Everything. Always be books. So we'll definitely get in touch with you and look forward to seeing you again.
Likewise. So, thank you, Patty.
Just so everybody knows, she actually lives in the same town. So, you know, we do see each other once in a while. And mm-hmm. I guess you started with the with Leprechaun, so there you go.
Yep, you did. Absolutely. It opened up a whole lot of doors for me.
And I'm so excited for you. So
thank
with
you.
That, I'm gonna say goodnight because I think I have some people waiting on me. So
thank you so much for having me.
I'll see you soon. And big hug.
Yes, thank you. Likewise, and thank you for having me and giving me a chance to talk about my books.
Oh, yeah. I'm always excited to talk about your books. It's fun. So with that, everybody, this is KWOD Radio, and this is Patty signing out. And say goodbye to PM Williams and her new book coming out, Masochist. And definitely get involved. I mean, this is one opportunity for you guys to really, you know, be a part of it. Be a part of the process. Get on that Kickstarter and, you know, show her some love. Be a part of it, and if you give a certain amount, you even get your name in the book. So there you go. What a way to get involved. So with that, I always say, you guys need to, you know, make it happen. And you guys usually do, so I'm so proud of you all. So with that, have a great night.